Well, happy Sabbath, everybody. I add my commendable. It's thank you for the young people that are doing this today. It is wonderful to see that. It's very interesting what takes place at times. You don't know exactly what's going to happen and how things are going to develop. This is going to be the different day. I've never given anything like this before, but in the process of going through some papers this spring of the year, I discovered a long forgotten Navy training course that I had and what is called a Liberty Pass. Now, there's probably maybe a handful of you out there that have been in the military, but a Liberty Pass is a temporary card that they give you when they give you liberty. They give you a pass to, in my particular case, to leave the ship. You're not free to leave the ship without a Liberty Pass. So that's the way it works. In the Navy, they call it shore leave. So I was amazed by the cleanness of the wording that was on the back of this. I hadn't read it in years. And I was absolutely amazed at the cleanness of the wording. Some of the things that Mr. Beckett gave us earlier, I'm going to also say some of these same things today too, in a different way. But every year we review this experience, the amazing things that we experience during these days of unleavened bread. And this, it doesn't matter if it's the days of unleavened bread. Every season we go through, we experience amazing things. This year was no different. And we're reminded once again about all the tremendous things that are started by the very beginning of Christ's sacrifice for us. So now we're at this point now. We have come through this time period. We've seen the sacrifice of Christ, and it has removed us from that bondage. That is the beginning point that enabled us to be removed from bondage. We see that is an absolutely amazing, precious thing that was done. That sacrifice has profound purpose for us. It is given us a very profound purpose. And we see that it's a great price that was paid. I want to read you a quote, and maybe you all, I hope you all read it, but I'm going to read you a little excerpt out of the letter Mr. Ward sent us just recently. And I'm just going to pick a few thoughts out of it that I've got here in my notes. And this is from Mr. Ward's letter. It all begins with our calling through and being convicted by the Word and the Spirit of God. We have the sure word of prophecy and the history of faithfulness of God in Christ through the ages. And we are a link in a chain of faithful men and women who have labored in fulfilling God's great plan and purpose. So we must not be weary in well-doing. We have been given liberty. We have been given a new life. We have been given a pass to go out and represent God, to leave the confinement of our quarters, if you will, and to go out and represent God. I was struck by what was on the back of that Liberty Pass when I read it, because it mentioned a time when God and country was important, and it mentioned God on the back of a military Liberty Pass. It's amazing to me. But we've reviewed once again how to recognize sin. We've been told that again. It comes every year. We have a repetitious cycle. We've been told how to recognize sin. We've been told how to get it out of our lives. We've been given special understanding about the necessity that it be cleaned out. Every little piece of it. And if that has stirred our hearts, it should redouble our efforts to go and do the freedom that we've been given, the liberty that we've been given, the freedom to go out and do the things that God wants us to do. So if our hearts are stirred by that, if we want to do that, if we want to, we've came through this time period. We came through that Red Sea. We have been delivered. We've been delivered into a liberty, a freedom to go out and to use the things that we've been given by God to do the work of God and to understand what it is that He wants us to do. So today I want to review some instructions on how to use our liberty. And I'm going to use little phrases that were on the back of my liberty card. And remember what it was? It was a pass. So I could leave the ship and go out and do whatever I wanted to do. Well, within reason and within the guidelines that were on the back of that card. So the point I'm trying to make is that we need some instructions on how to use our liberty that we have also. So within the prologue of that training, it said this. And I've used this just recently, and the person that I used it on will know. But anyway, I've used this just recently, but this was written on my naval training course, okay? Your enrollment in this course represents a considerable investment by the Navy, or the God family, if you want to put it this way. So I'm extrapolating these things, and I'm taking this and applying it to us. But these are the things that were written there. But anyway, I'll read that again. Your enrollment in this course represents a considerable investment by the God family. It's expected that you will complete this course in the prescribed fashion, so the investment will not be wasted. Now, that's what they told me when I took a training course in the Navy. Okay, I'm going to confess it was 1961, long time ago. But I want you to consider the days that we've just went through, the things that we've been taught, the meaning of these things that we were taught. A considerable investment has been made in us also. A considerable price has been paid for us so that we might be included in the plan of God, so that we might have hope, so that we might be instructed that God wants us. He wants us to be there. He wants us to complete the course. And it has very positive meaning and, as is said today, a meaningful outcome. So the Liberty Pass, as I've said a couple times already, had reminders on the back to those that were given liberty. It reminded them about the liberty that they were given, about the purpose of the country. And I'm asking you to put all of this into perspective of us and what we believe and what we know and what's in God's Word for us. But it gave us, on the back of that Liberty card, it talked about the purpose of the country. It talked about the call to service that we had. And it talked about the future and how to use the liberty that we had very carefully. So I've said it a couple of times already. We have been given great liberty by that sacrifice that was made on our behalf in all the things. Not just the sacrifice, that began the possibility of the plan being completed when Christ was victorious and going through what His Father had given Him to do and what He came to do. Let's look in Galatians 5. We need to ask ourselves, if we believe that we've been given liberty by all of these events that have occurred, if we believe that we have a responsibility and an opportunity to go out and to plan and prepare and to be a part of what it is that God wants us to do, we have to ask ourselves that question. How am I using that freedom that I have? How am I using that liberty that I have? And in Galatians 5, in the beginning in verse 1, it says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled to the end with a yoke of bondage. So this has been a theme through this whole time period of this spring holy days. It's repeatedly been brought up and brought up and brought up. And it's good that it is. And let's skip on over to verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use that liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. And let's skip to verse 16 also. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it tells us what to do. It tells us to don't do irresponsible, inappropriate things, which we call sin. We can't do that anymore. The liberty that we have does not allow us to do that. It's prescribed to us that we have to represent that country to come. We have to represent the possibility of us being there. And we have to consider that we've been called to succeed. As it says, He wants us to finish that course. He wants us to be there. He wants us to be a part of His family. And it's like it says in 2 Peter 3:11. It's described this way. What manner of person ought you to be? So I'm going to start reading you some of the little excerpts that were, and I hope you'll be amazed that what was written on the back of this Liberty Pass. So I'm going to start reading you some little excerpts of the things that were written on the back of a Liberty Pass, and I'm going to put them into context, I hope, that to see how some of these things are things, the way that we should look at our liberty that we have. And this is one of the quotes. Strength and weapons for the maintenance of peace. Strength and weapons are for the maintenance of peace. Now that's what was written on the back of a Liberty Pass. Let's look in 2 Corinthians. We don't war the way the people of the military war. It's obvious. But this nation has, in the past, looked upon maintaining itself strong, not to go to war, not to be a conquering nation, not to go out and start wars, but it has been strong to prevent war and to be at peace and to maintain the peace. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare, and we know we have warfare, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God. And I want to underline and put that in bold, are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Let's skip back to verse 3, and I'm going to read 4 again. For though we walk in the flesh, we are temporary fleshly beings. We do not war according to the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So the point I'm trying to make is this, is it emphasizes that it's not our strength that does this. It's God's strength that does this. And we are to be busy, as it says, we're engaged in a warfare. We are to be busy at that. We have a continual thing to overcome evil with good. That's what we should be busy doing. We overcome evil with good. We went through these days. We just went through. We had this comparison. We have the sincerity and truth in the malice and wickedness. Versus, these two things are miles apart. We have to understand that these are the things that overcome evil. And we have to be watchful about these things. We have to be disciplined about them. And we have to be constantly reminded that strength that we've been given and the liberty that we have to use that strength, it comes constantly from God. And we have to be on constant vigilance about it. We have to maintain peace by doing good. Let's look in Ephesians 6. I think everybody, I know that the young people just recently went through this as far as the weapons of our warfare. We've been equipped with marvelous weapons, and we need to see it that way because we're about a spiritual warfare, and we need to see the kind of equipment that we've been given to maintain that peace and to be to see the kind of strength that we have and to recognize the value of the equipment that we have. So in Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong," and here again, I want to underline that, "be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might," that's the emphasis, "put on the whole armor," and I'm going to underline it again, "of God." It's the things He equips us with. It's not the things that we have of ourselves. It says, "put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age," people that want to, as we heard earlier, take this nation away from God, take this nation away from the truth of God, and try to make it sound as if that people are smart enough to run the world by themselves without any guiding principles from God whatsoever. And "therefore take up the whole armor of God," in verse 13, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." And then going on down in verse 14 through 18, it gives us these weapons that helps us with this spiritual fight. It helps us in our mind to deal with these things. It says, "stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation." We have to constantly protect our mind with the knowledge of that, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always, returning to the one who gives us the strength, who gives us the ability, with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." So, it's interesting for us to understand that we are engaged and to constantly remember that we are engaged in warfare. We really are. The next little thing that's on the back of the card, it says this: "tradition, valor, and victory is our heritage of the past. And to these we may add also dedication." I want you to refer back to that letter, little excerpts of what I read to you earlier when I began, about the chain of events of people through history and time, and how that there's been before us all of this chain of people that have been faithful people. And many of them are mentioned in the Bible. But in that letter, he reminded us about this cloud of witnesses that we have. We might call them heroes in some sense of the word, but I don't like to use that. But they're witnesses of the heritage that we've been given. We've been brought into that same connection, no matter who we are. Not Greek, not Jew, it doesn't matter who we are. We've been brought into that bond, that body, by Christ's sacrifice that puts us within that body and binds us together as one. Let's look at Hebrews 11 and read again, remind ourselves. I don't know How many of us have never read this? I would imagine that most of us have read this many multiple times. But when you go back and you read it over and over and you put it back in your mind again and refresh your mind about it, and it's, if you want homework, I'm not going to read you all of the chapter 11, but if you want homework to do, go back at the first of chapter 11 and read all the way down through there. But I'm going to start in verse 32 here. And what more could I say? For time would fail me to tell of the Gideon, of Barak, all these stories that we can read, and Samson, and Jephthah, and also David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouth of lions. And let's skip on down to verse 36. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, and yes, of chains and imprisonment. And they were stoned, and they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having attained a good testimony, a heritage that we can look to, our forefathers that went before us through faith did not receive the promises. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect without us. I know that I talked about this, a heritage. I gave it in a sermon here a number of years ago, maybe in 2011 or 12. But my wife's family came from Texas, and there is this long history in Texas. I'm not going to go into all the details. You can talk to her about her history from her family from Texas. But we went back to Corpus Christi for the feast a number of years ago, and we stopped in some of the little towns where her families were, where her father was born, where a lot of her other family. And there was this heritage of her family. They did this and they did that. They secured the area. They fought off Indian attacks. They survived plagues of cholera and whatever. But there is this, all of these things that they did in faith, looking for trying to build a better country, trying to have hope for the future. And they were constantly dealing with those things. And we also are a link in a chain of events that have went before us. We are descended from, if we're spiritual Israel, we are descended from Abraham, our father, the father of the faithful. And we have that heritage too, because we are the Israel of God, no matter who we are and where we come from. If we've accepted that, and we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let's look in Romans 8. I love these words that are here. Every time I read them, it's stirring, and I just it's amazing. I can't read them actually enough. But Romans 8, 37 through 39. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a profound thing, a heritage that we have. In the Navy, they taught us that you have a tradition of maintaining the peace by strength. You have a tradition of victory. You have a tradition that is carried on from the heritage of the past. We have that too. We have that calling to be brought into a heritage that has a future and a hope in front of it. that doesn't reject the knowledge and the understanding of God. It accepts these teachings of God. And Christ, our elder brother, is already victorious. He is victorious. So here's another thing that we were admonished on our Liberty card. Discipline and vigilant are the watchwords of the present. So I already said tradition and valor and victory is the heritage of the past. Well, discipline and vigilant are the watchwords of the present. And let's go to Colossians. If we believe these ways of God, we must have discipline, and we must strive to live it. Let's look in Colossians 3. If then you were raised with Christ, we heard about that today, a new man rose up out of that watery grave. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. For you died. That old man died, as we heard. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's that hope that we have. And Mr. Kubik wrote in the letter just before the Passover some very powerful words, and I want to remind you about them again. I hope you haven't thrown it away, and consider these things once again. We have a powerful example by living the way that God asks us to live. And it does take discipline for ourselves, and it takes vigilance about these things to not let them slip, to not let them get away from us. But another thing that was written on the back of the card, it said this: we are to serve with pride, or I'm going to say humility. That is the type of pride that we have. We are to have humility and confidence. Let's look in Hebrews 3. It's important to understand where our confidence comes from, where our confidence can come from. It's not just in the weapons that we read in Ephesians 6 earlier about those weapons. There is also another source of confidence. It's another source of humility and confidence that we can have. In Hebrews 3, in the beginning in verse 6, it says this: but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence that's given us, and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. And I want to skip on over to verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence, that sacrifice of Jesus Christ that gives us confidence that he has removed our sins from us and he has cleaned our mind and he has given us this possibility to go forward. And if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Here's another thing that was written on the back of that card. I've already given you that. Excuse me. We're to serve with humility and confidence, I said. But I want to. I have another scripture I want you to go with me to. It's Philippians. Philippians 3. They told us when I was in the military that we were in the service of the nation. We need to look at ourselves that way. We need to look at ourselves as being in the service of God. We have been given liberty, yes. Well, we have been given liberty to serve, be in the service, constrained, if you will, within the guidelines that we're given. And we need to look at ourselves that way, that we see ourselves as being in the service of God, and we're living by every word of God. And we belong. When I can't repeat everything that they told me in the Navy because some of it's vulgar, but the point I'm going to tell you is this, that when we went into the service, they said this: we own you. God owns us. There was a price paid for us. We are his. We were bought with a price. And he does own us. He is the one that provides our future. He is the one that we're in the service to. We are owned, and we belong to our Lord and Master. It's important for us to understand that. It's very important. Let's look in Philippians 3. Philippians 3, 12. Not that I have already attained or have already perfected, but I press on. We don't quit on it. That I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Now maybe you might think, well, that's just talking to Apostle Paul, that he was struck down on his way to Damascus and he was forcibly, if you will, converted, because he was very much against the church of God before that happened. But I believe it applies to each and every one of us. As Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We need to understand that. And it's important for us to continually review that. Another thing that was on the back of my Liberty card is this. Our responsibility bolsters us and our adversaries strengthen us. One of the things that each and every one of us experiences at some time or another is whatever it is. And I was talking to someone before services and I've learned, let me put it this way. I'm on the do not call list, but they still call. And I've learned to pick up the telephone and put it down without getting angry. That is an accomplishment for me. So the point I'm trying to make is this. Our adversaries and the adversarial things that are thrown at us is a discipline tool for us. It can strengthen us. Our adversaries can strengthen us. We need to look at it that way. The things that we face, the difficulties that we have, the obstructions that we have, the irritating things that we have, all of these things that we encounter and constantly badger us in some sense of the word, even the discouragement, the things that we find about ourselves as we go through these days, we find out more about ourselves. I was thinking this year as I was going through the house, is you, we clean the house a lot slower than we used to clean the house, okay? So, and we look through things, and I don't know if everybody looks in every place like we do, but we look. And there's educational things that you find. I've cleaned my car for 3 years. And in one of the little cubby holes where you stick things in the car, there was a credit card in that cubby hole. This is the third year. I didn't spot it for 2 years. Okay, so the point I'm trying to make is that we dig deeper. We discover things that we didn't know before. And these things can discourage us. We can look at them as just too much and throw our hands up. Or we can look at them as an educational thing that can strengthen us. We are strengthened by these things that we go through. Let's look over in we're in Philippians. Let's look over in chapter 2. And there's a couple verses that I want to read here. And beginning in verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. And it is important that we look at that last little phrase with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will, and he will do that if we ask him to, and to do, to make it possible for his good pleasure, which in the long run is good for us. So there are challenges. There are difficulties. They can strengthen us if we look at it that way. The responsibility that we've been called to can bolster us and establish a direction for us that's be strengthening thing for us to stick with that direction. Let's look in 1 Peter 5, 6 also. We have to apply ourselves with diligence, as I've already read, discipline, vigilance, diligence. Those are all buzzwords. I guess we can look at them as buzzwords, but we can also look at them as admonishment and little reminders. And in 1 Peter 5, somehow I got into 2 Peter, but in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, therefore, we subject ourselves to the training program, so to speak. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's the goal. That's the plan. That's the promise. Casting all your care upon him. We heard a lot about that yesterday. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It's important to remember that. When I was told, if you get into trouble, if you do something wrong or out of line or something in the Navy, get a hold of us. We are for you. We're here for you. But don't do it in the state of Mexico, because we don't have any ability to do anything down there to pull you out of there. But it's the point I'm trying to make is God is here for us. And he wants us to remember that. He wants us to understand that. The next thing that was written on the back of the card is, as Mr. Beckett said earlier, our service is to God and the country. I don't know. I'm not been in contact with anybody in the military, but I doubt very seriously if that's on the back of a card anymore. I doubt very seriously. But our service is to God and the country. Our service is to a country. Our service is to that coming country. The same one that Abraham looked for. The same one that our forefather, the man of faith that we call our forefather, that same one that he worked for also. Let's look in Colossians. Go back to Colossians. It's a special privilege and honor to serve. And I'm not trying to, for any of you young people that are out there, I'm not trying to convince any of you to go into the military or go into government service that way. I'm not. Because it is the same, it is, of this world. And it is the way the world solves their problems. It's the way the world does things. But this, as Mr. Beckett said earlier, this world, this nation, had a better way of approaching some of these things years ago than it does now. But the point is that we have to understand the parallels that we have. We have a country to come. We have, Christ is going to bring a government. He is going to be King of Kings over all of the earth. And it is a government service that we are in. We are in planning and training and preparation for that government service. It says right there, a people being prepared. We either believe it or we don't. There are a people being prepared for the return of Christ. Who is going to bring a government to this earth? We are in government service training right now. We should look at it that way. What's made it possible is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that laid the foundation to enable us to be in the liberty that we have to go out and to represent that country to come and to live the way of God today, now, as a witness to this nation and in preparation for what is going to be done in the future. I've got plenty of time. Let's look at Colossians 2. Colossians 2, 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Go do it. Live that way in service to God. Rooted and built up in him, again, the emphasis, and established in the faith, the word of God, and the belief that we comes from it, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. That's something that's not easy for any of us to do, is to continue to have thanksgiving. But as I said earlier, this in my notes at this place, and I just jumped ahead in my notes. As Abraham, our forefather, served for that country, we are to serve too. Those reminders that I've given you that were on the back of a military service card struck me when I read them, because I hadn't read them in many, many years, and I was shocked and surprised at some of the things I read there, and it prompted my thought about what it is that we're doing in the calling of that we've been given by the Father into the service of Christ and the purpose that we have for it. It is important that we remember that purpose. 1 Timothy 4, I have a few more scriptures here I want to give you. So as I've said, and I don't want to just repeat myself over and over, but we cannot neglect it or take it lightly. 1 Timothy 4, in two verses here, 14 and 16, do not neglect the gift that is in you. This is Paul talking to Timothy, but it applies to us all, which was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership, and meditate on those things and give yourself entirely to them so that your progress may be evident to all. As I said earlier, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. It's a spiritual thing that we're doing, and we have to realize that in a spiritual way we have to be prepared for that country to come. Let's look at one other scripture here in Titus 2 also. In Titus 2, in verse 12, beginning of verse 12, I'm going to skip to verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It, in the sense of Jesus Christ, came to this earth and his life was evident. It's recorded in secular history. But teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. It's very important that we remember that. It's very important that we envision that future that's been promised to us and keep that in our mind. As we leave these days that focus this so very much on specific things, we're going to go on through the progression of holy days through the year, and we have to keep these things in our mind. We have to never forget the things that we were promised. Let's look in Romans 8. Go back to Romans 8 again. I didn't read all of it. But Romans 8, which is a wonderful book. Romans 8 in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So I'm asking you, as you go forward and you consider how it is that you should use your liberty that you have, the freedom you have, to don't forget the price that was paid as we go on out into the progression of holy days and the Passover and the days of unleavened bread kind of grow dim and we go on down. Don't forget the price that has been paid by our elder brother for us. Don't forget the investment that's been made in this plan that's already started. Don't forget those that are the faithful others that have went before us, whether it's Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, whoever they are, or our families. There are four generations of families sitting here also. Don't forget the things that our families have done that have been faithful and have carried on. Don't forget these things as we go forward in our liberty. Because All of those people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of those people were given to see the things about the future. And we're instructed to remember these things, to remember that heritage that we have, and to put to full use this liberty that we have been given to be busily preparing for the future that God provides for us.